Hello, do you like New Japan Pro Wrestling? Are you a Shin Nihon freak? If so, check out the Super J-Cast with Joel and Damon on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
And even if you fucking hate New Japan Pro Wrestling, listen to the Super J-Cast anyway. Not just for our great show reviews, analysis, and pastrami sandwiches, but there's also usually some dick jokes somewhere in the obligatory opening 30 minutes of absolute nonsense we chat about every single week. That's the Super J-Cast for all the best talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling, crisps, and pornography.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply. Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling podcasting network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Competition's starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you watch your A-game. A-made, no rain. From the track when we unite and spit, this isn't A-game. Better bring your A-game. Competition's starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you brought your A game. A-mate, no rain.
Hey, now it's the Mike and JD Show, and I am your host, Mike Gilbert, and I'm joined as always by JD, by God Oliva. How you doing, JD?
Bro, what a... Just the wrestling is so much right now. We had so Mondays I have high school practice on top of the normal job, high school practice and kids practice night. Tuesdays I have high school practice and kids practice night. Wednesdays I have high school practice and kids practice night. Thursdays we had a dual meet. Friday we had a dual meet. Saturday we had a tournament for the high school kids. Sunday we had a kids tournament. And these tournaments, they get 2 to 3 matches in about 3 hours or 4 hours tops. We go to this school that's literally the next school over. They got to run an old school. We're there. We have to get there by 8 o'clock in the morning. Tournament doesn't start till 10. We're not done till like almost 4 o'clock for 8-year-olds.
Wow.
Dude, it's unbelievable. It's just it's just unbelievable. Then I had to get home and do homework, and then we got the show. Winter is it's a bitch, man. But I love it. Yeah. I know it sounds like a bitch. But I absolutely love it. The boys doing very good right now.
Yeah, man. No, I'm good, man. Sounds like you got a lot going on. I have to do my homework right after this is over. And not looking forward to that. You've had such a busy weekend. I don't even really want to tell people what I did this weekend, but I guess I might as well. Yeah. Well, we had a staycation. So it's not enough that we live. It's not enough that we live in Hawaii and Honolulu. Where the beach is like 10 minutes from my house, we decided to just go get a hotel room for the weekend that we could just walk to the beach at, because it's my wife's birthday. Mm-hmm. So we took the wife and the kids down in downtown Honolulu and Waikiki, and we did the whole thing, man. They got a really beautiful pool down there. We got some beach time. We didn't do the luau. We were going to do a luau last night, but it was $120 a person, and it was like $40 for kids. And so we asked some people that we know, which is not like actually all that bad, but we asked around to see if anybody, like, what they thought of it. And a bunch of people told us that the food just wasn't good. So we're like, oh, screw it. We'll just go get like regular dinner. And then we went and got ice cream. And so we're actually really exhausted too, but it's from just like chilling too much. Like you can get exhausted from just being in the sun. And so that's what we're really exhausted right now. So I'm on my second Coke Z. So we're doing that. And then right after we're done here, got to go down, get some more dad time in, and then hit up the books, get my homework done. And so then I got to be back at work tomorrow.
You guys live in Hawaii, but you aren't always going to live in Hawaii. So you have to appreciate it while you're there, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, try to build as many good classic memories. I know your son's not going to remember, but your daughter, you want to have some of those memories for them and for the two of you guys too. I mean, you deserve some time like that. Like, I'm happy for you too.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So retirement orders in hand. It's official. Congrats. Yep. Thank you. There for a little bit, I was like 50-50 whether or not the Air Force is going to let me go. I was getting a little nervous there because
I had faith. I knew they were going to let you go.
Man,
I don't know why I had faith. I just did.
They're a wild card when it gets up to the like Air Force headquarters level. Like, you never really know how they're going to handle a situation, because essentially when you get to that level, you're not a person, you're just a number, right? So they have to just move all their numbers around. And so I saw the back and forth between the human resource, the assignments personnel, I guess HR for normies. They said that they recommended that I do retire, because we're double billeted in my position. So we got two people at the same rank when they only need one. And because I'm here, it's preventing them, somebody that at a lower ranking. So I'm costing the Air Force money just by existing right now. So like, you should really let this guy go. He's kind of getting in the way. They didn't say it exactly like that, but that's what they said. And I was like, you know, this kind of hurts my feelings a little bit.
No, that's the American dream.
I know this is beneficial to me, but it did kind of, it's like, we actually, not only should you let him retire, he needs to retire because he's kind of getting in the way right now. So,
no, see, that's the dream. That's the dream, to become superfluous and move upward in life. Let me tell you something. I work in how it works in education. If you're really bad at your job, and it's always the timers that are really bad at their job that really want to be administrators, right? And so everyone hates them and they suck at their job, but they go apply somewhere else and they get glowing reviews because people are like, oh yeah, they're fantastic, they you should hire them, and they keep moving on up, which is why it sucks. So man, I kind of can understand that. Like, this is you are living the dream. They're like, oh yes, please retire, go make a better life for yourself, you cost us too much money.
I know. Yeah. That's essentially what's happening. It's like, yeah, like, I could stay if I wanted to. I could pull those retirement papers anytime I wanted, but they're like, no, actually, you retiring is a benefit to the military. I'm just like, wow.
Thank you for your service. Get the fuck out.
only because of my location, because of the manning here at my location. Now, if I was somewhere else and I was the only guy in that spot, they probably would not have let me, but because we're doubled up here, it worked out. So, Charlotte, I'll be heading to Charlotte, North Carolina come this May. So we'll be doing a retirement ceremony in May, 21 years to the day that I joined the military, May 5th, 2004. Was my entry date. So 2025, May 5th, 2025 will be my retirement date. 21 years to the day. So that's gonna be pretty cool. Cinco de Gilbert.
Gilbert. We gotta make a special show that week for that. Congratulations, man. I mean, like, you went into the Air Force as an immature punk and have left it a slightly more mature punk.
I didn't really mature. I'm more of just like a baby that got older. Like,
slightly. It's slightly better. It's not great, but it's better.
Yeah.
That's how I feel too.
Yeah. Yeah, but we're excited, and we're excited to move to Charlotte, man. Although, man, dude, being on that beach yesterday and then this morning, and we're just like, it's fucking January 12th. And in Charlotte, it snowed over the weekend. We're like, is this what we really want to do? Do we want to leave this life a year early to go over there? But yeah, we're doing it.
I want to remind you, I live in rural Illinois. Yeah. It's cold as fuck here right now. So, you know, you're not getting any sympathy out of me here. So
let's talk about wrestling. Yeah, we got a lot to talk about. But first, looks like we got a chat here. Let's see what this guy is saying. VR says, you can really tell where AEW is right now, where Kenny Omega's return gets a tepid reaction from the live crowd and barely made a ratings difference.
I think the ratings discussions have to be put to rest, because now that every wrestling show is part of a streaming service,
yeah,
it's just different now. And they basically, TV has waved the flag, because we're never going to get real numbers. Like, even Netflix, like 8 billion people watched Raw this week. I mean, like, and we know that's bullshit. It turned out like Rich and Joe, if you want to have really good ratings discourse for Netflix, Rich and Joe had an amazing breakdown this week on the flagship. Can't say enough good things about it. But I mean, like, it doesn't matter. The ratings things, they really just don't matter anymore. Now, as far as the tepid reaction from the live crowd, you're onto something from there.
Yeah, I think a lot of things are getting tepid reactions from the live crowd. I was surprised that, you know, it wasn't like a bad reaction, but it just seemed like the audience on Dynamite was cold in general, and Kenny was not able to heat them up. And then he immediately gets attacked. But look, I like Brian Cage and I like Lance Archer, but really? So, like, they're the ones that come down. It's like, okay.
They're Callus' new minions. I mean,
yeah.
Train. They're Callus' new minions. I get it. You're going to want to move up the pagoda. We're going to get I mean, quite frankly, I think this Kenny Omega Brian Cage match is going to be a lot of fun, right?
Yeah.
So I'm okay with it. We're going to get a Lance Archer. We got, what are they calling them? The Monsters of Cage? What are they called?
I don't
know. Lance Archer and Brian Cage. They have a tag team name now. I don't know what they're called.
They do, yeah.
I can't remember what it is.
The Monster Machines.
Monster Machines. That's what it is.
My daughter loved that show on Nickelodeon, Blaze and the Monster Machines. She loved that show.
And then we're going to get them tagging up against Kenny and Ospreay. It'll be fun TV. But I mean, the problem, should we start with this, or should, because we're here right now?
Well, I mean, we're already doing it, so let's just get into it. So I was going to save it for the end of the show, but we'll just get into it right now. So the AEW diehard fan base is revolting as we speak against Tony Khan. I mean, it's been coming for a while.
You and I have been there for a year.
Yeah. The popularity decline has been getting worse and worse. And when we think it's not going to get any worse, it continues to then get worse. So the popularity decline for AEW continues to decline. Well, the hardest of hardcores were not really critical of AEW for a while, and in fact they would constantly make excuses for them, but even those guys are starting to revolt right now. Tony Khan even put up a match graphic about this 12-man tag that's going to happen, I think, next week on Collision, and it's, you know, got Adam Copeland, Cope. Yeah, it's got Cope, Cope. and all of his people, FTR and the Outrunners, and I think Will Hobbs, who's getting a title shot, but he's just one of the out of focus guys on the graphic. He's just like all the way in the back. And then on the other one is Moxley and the Death Riders, and then behind them is the Learning Tree. So Moxley, who's wanting to destroy all of AEW, now teaming with the Learning Tree. so we got them on the same side. So two factions that really shouldn't even get any more TV time, because they have, both of them have flopped. I know some people like they like Jericho's shtick, to where like some of the live audience, because they like to mimic stuff. Wrestling fans like to mimic things and count. Okay, just because you got them mimicking and counting, that does not mean that you're over. But anyway, but that's what people think about the Learning Tree. So they're on the same side, and for whatever reason, it was this that set people off. I was dumbfounded as to how many hate tweets that match is getting. It seems like a normal match to me, but boy, oh boy, are people shitting all over it.
Yeah, I was surprised by this too, because you pointed this out to me. Like, what are they revolting about? Like, I guess you and I have been on this train since I was making my Maximania graphics last year.
Yeah, Bogo like, Max.
Yeah, but we were doing the Bogo Max thing. Like, the disappointing thing about Moxley is both you and I were super excited when this angle started. When it seemed like Moxley wanted to just murder everybody, we were like, this can be something. We thought it was going to be like an NWO-inspired thing, and they were going to destroy AEW and just kill people. And that didn't happen. That didn't happen. Like, they barely wrestled. Like, it just – I still don't know quite what they want to do.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's just – it's so muddled. Like – it's so weird to me that the bigger the room has gotten at AEW, the more unclear the storytelling has become. And that's where we're at right now. Like, nothing gets better. Like, and I like Dynamite this week. I thought Dynamite was a fun show this week. The Gauntlet match was a lot of fun. But, like, the more people start working on this soup, the more bland the soup gets. Like, they've lost the ability to really just tell a consistent narrative story. They really have.
Yeah. Lady B in the chat. Welcome, lady. I've never seen the Friends pivot GIF used so much in the last few hours. Yeah. So it's one by one, another diehard hardcore AEW fan after another telling Tony Khan that he needs to pivot. He needs to get the title off of Moxley. The Death Rider story is failing. Stop with the Jericho. Dude, I take it you didn't get a chance to watch Collision last night.
No, I watched. I'm so far behind. So
okay, so last night my son was asleep and he would not wake up. So instead of all of us going down to the pool, it's like, honey, it's your birthday, you take the kid down to the pool, you take the daughter down to the pool, I'm gonna stay up here with the boy and let him get his rest, right? So naturally I put on Collision while my wife and daughter were downstairs enjoying the pool and the sunshine. And Jericho and Dax Harwood had one of the worst AEW main events I think I've ever seen, which is, like, Jericho is a good wrestler, and Dax, I think, still to this day is very good. I know he's been a little bit beat up.
Yeah, he's a little beat up. I think he's a good wrestler, yeah.
Yeah, so both of these guys are really good. Now, Jericho passed way past his prime at this point, right? I think that's pretty fair to say. But he can occasionally still crank out a really good match, so you would assume that Jericho and Dax would have a really good match. But now, it not only was it not a good match, like the ending of the match where they botched the spot where Jericho was getting his, I keep forgetting he's the Ring of Honor champion, but he gets his Ring of Honor title. Because for whatever reason, he can't just beat Dax. He's got to do all kinds of shenanigans, right? So he grabs the Ring of Honor title and he pulls it into the ring, and then he just pokes the referee in the eye, like randomly. And then Dax goes up to the top rope and he's coming down with a flying headbutt. But Jericho's so exhausted, he forgets what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to get the belt laid on him, and then Dax is going to headbutt the belt. But Jericho just got exhausted and didn't move the belt over. So Dax just hits him with the regular headbutt. And then Dax gets up, and then he hits the referee. And then Jericho hits Dax with the belt and then does the roll-up pin. It was the weirdest thing. And then one by one, and then all of a sudden, Learning Tree comes out, and they start to jump him, and then Copeland and his guys come out, and they even the odds. Death Riders come out, and while all this is happening, all these different people are coming out, big stars are coming out, the crowd couldn't care less. It was sad, to be honest with you. I'm just like, what happened to the AEW I loved? So, like, it was kind of one of the more pathetic main events I think I've ever seen.
They have never recovered from Jimmy Jacobs entering this company. I'm just going to say, what? I know he's gone now, but I'm going to lay the blame
at him. You know what? He was really bad, but I'm going to go back even a little bit further than that. I think buying Ring of Honor has been a net negative for the company, because that is overextended Tony Khan and his creativity. And then right after that was when they brought on Collision, and he promised that Collision was going to be an A show. And we had Joe Lanza on our show. This is the first time that we had met Joe. Mm-hmm. And he said he did, like, Tony Khan has never been able to make another show an A show. Dynamite's always A show. He's always failed to make another show an A show. It always ends up being subservient to Dynamite. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened to Collision. So I think bringing on Ring of Honor, taking on Collision, right, when he doesn't have the infrastructure in place, the creative infrastructure in place to add a second show like that, that's supposed to be an A show. And then bringing in the WWE writers room, all of those people that come over from there with their bad ideas, and then listening to them instead of listening to the people that brought them here. I think that's been, like, kind of the downfall in popularity. Guys, I fucking know they're still making a lot of money. This company is grossing a shit ton of money. I'm not saying they're not making money. They are. I'm talking about the popularity.
I don't care how much money they're making. All I care about is the fact that I'm not invested in the show anymore. Like, and I watched it. I used to just look forward to Dynamite, and I would stay up late and be miserable on Thursdays to watch Dynamite. Like, it's not appointment TV for me. I waited till Saturday to watch it this week, and I heard good things. Like, and it comes down to the fact that the show is just just missable. Like, Tony Khan is burnt out, man. He's burnt out, and I don't think he's got the right people around him to take up the slack. Right? We had that discussion. I think I did a JD Oliva project about this. Like, who would you hand over the booking reins to without Tony? None of those idiots in the writer. And this is why we have a friend of ours. I'm not going to name names, mutual names in podcasting, who's like telling me, oh, I got emails from so-and-so and so-and-so from companies about what's going on. And I'm like, I never get anyone reaching out to me ever to tell me anything. Cause they're like, that guy's an asshole. Fuck him.
Yeah.
So, and they're right, by the way, they're not wrong. But I mean, like, I just, no one in that infrastructure has proven to me or has proven to anyone, like, any viable metric has proven that anybody working in that company in a creative capacity can handle the load of running everything. And I'm just going to say it. This is going to get me in trouble. I don't really care. They should just turn everything over to John Muse.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to sugarcoat it anymore. John Muse is more talented than every single person in that room. And doesn't get a shot. And it's bullshit.
Yeah. No. Well, he's more creative. Look, we're biased. Okay.
We'll I own it. I own the fact that I'm biased toward my friend. But I have these conversations. We all do. We have our group thread. We have these conversations with them, and I'm like, this guy's better than anyone they've got going over there right now. And it's frustrating to me.
It's not only the creativity, it's organizational skills.
We don't have those in AEW.
No. And there is a lack of leadership and organizational skills that's going on in this company. And it feels like they're just flying on by the seat of their pants. They got these ideas and none of them are working out. They're all telling the same stories. And the Death Riders, like, I don't know what separates the Death Riders from every other faction that they have in that company.
Nothing.
There's nothing. They just, all of a sudden, they just decided they were going to take over one day. And now that's not happening. And now they're friends with the Learning Tree. And none of it makes any sense. And it's not good television, despite the fact that sometimes the show's still pretty good. I mean, they're still going to throw on awesome matches. Mm-hmm. I will say last night, and I've been on this guy's train for a long time, JD, you know this is true, from our Brace for Impact days. Last night, Adam Copeland and W. Morrissey fucking killed it. They did. Yeah. Cope, he didn't put over Big Bill. He still beat him, but he put over Big Bill while still beating him. I mean, he's never looked better. And I've always said that he could be a guy for a company. He's got a lot of talent. Unfortunately, he's doing that goofy ass Learning Tree gimmick, but boy, oh boy, did he look awesome in the ring last night.
We were really hard on TNA when they signed him. Right, because this is like early Brace for Impact days that they signed W. Morrissey. We made fun of the name. I think we called him like a law firm or a talent agency or something like that. Yeah. Like, we were all over them about that. And then about halfway through the run, we both said, you know what? Morrissey's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
And we figured he was back to WWE, and he wound up at AEW, and he's been good here too. Like, he's got a lot of Kevin Nash in him, but I think he's a better worker than Kevin Nash. I really do. Like, and he has just as much personality. Like, just different era. So guys like him don't get the opportunities they probably would have gotten 30 years ago, quite frankly. Like, it's just not working. Like, nothing is firing on all cylinders there. So everything pressing says, so do change plans on Death Riders? If yes, what's the move you would make? Dude, I ain't booking the company. I mean,
the move that I would make, I would immediately pivot to Kenny Omega back as champion. That is absolutely number one. I would put the belt right back on Kenny Omega, and then I would start the build for Kenny Omega to then drop the title to Will Ospreay. However, we got to get there, but that's the move that I make. Now, I know both those guys are baby faces right now, but we saw it last night. They're teasing a match between Omega and Ospreay. Like, that's what's coming. Not last night. It was on Dynamite.
It was last night. I don't hate that idea. I'm not ready to give up on Moxley yet, because I still think there could be something there, but just they've squandered it. Like, they squandered Bryan Danielson's retirement. They squandered a disturbing angle for nothing. I don't trust Tony to book this at this point. I think he's fried, man, but I think his ego won't let him step out of the way. This is why I don't get emails. Like, nobody slides in my DMs. Like, I think he's fried, man. But I don't know who else they got. Well, someone in the chat, I forget who it was, said, well, that's right, exactly. Here. Nice job,
Hassan, Mike. Hassan Albana. Sorry if I mispronounced your name. That's on me. You can send me a DM to teach me the correct pronunciation. I'll get it right next time. But
the Mike's DMs.
Yeah. Will Washington getting a pass from criticism. He's a lifelong WWE fan. Yeah, that is true. WWE tendencies, and they brought the guy in. And look, but here's the thing. I don't know what stories are his and what stories aren't his. I don't know. So I can't tell you if he's doing a bad job or not.
Yeah. It's all Tony at the end of the day, but no one is providing. I mean, like it could be people are pitching the greatest things in the world and Tony is shooting them down. I don't think I believe that, but like, there's just nothing cool. There's nothing cool. I agree. I don't know if Kenny's even hot enough right now. Like, nothing in this company is over. Nothing.
The Kenny that I saw at Tokyo Dome is hot enough, but I don't know if we're getting that Kenny in AEW, because he looked like he was back in Tokyo Dome. Like, he was refreshed, revitalized.
Sure did.
He cut an amazing promo after that match with blood on his face. Mm-hmm. The whole thing was just incredible. And I was like, yes, that's the Kenny that we're getting in AEW. And he came back and he cut like a ho-hum promo. And, you know, Callis came out, he chased him off. And the next thing you know, he's fighting with Brian Cage and Lance Archer. And I like Brian Cage. I like Lance Archer. And I understand they got to get Kenny some wins and build him back up. But those two guys being the first two guys to confront him, I thought was a bit weak.
It doesn't bug me. What bugs me is like they teased Kenny and Okada, and then like we're dropping that apparently. And it makes sense for Kenny to feud. Well,
yeah.
Does it make sense? I mean, like, wasn't Kenny taken out by the Elite? Well, the Elite. Yeah,
Kenny was taken out by the Elite. And so he was already out. He had come back for one night, and then they beat him up, and then he confronted Okada. I would have scrapped the whole thing and just moved right Kenny to Mox right away. That, like, the best feud in company history.
It is.
The number one drawing champion in company history in Kenny Omega. Good. I would have just gone right to it, because I know that's a bit of hot-shotting, but the company definitely needs a spark.
Here's the thing.
I'm not saying John Moxley is done forever, but I think this story is done.
They dropped the ball. Here's the thing about hot-shotting is hot-shotting can work, right? And sometimes things need to be hot-shotted, right? The plans aren't working right now. The plans aren't working. Like, there's just... The pay-per-view is great. Like, they're always going to have great wrestling matches. Like, I think this Tony Storm has amnesia storyline is stupid. I remember when Cactus Jack did it in 93. It was dumb then. It's dumb now.
Yeah.
You know, and like the nerds Twitter followers be like, oh, it's so great. And I hate going on Reddit. People are like pretending that Tony Storm is in fact a rookie. And I just want to slap all these people. Like,
I deleted my Reddit account a couple years ago, and I'm better for it.
You probably are. I'm off X. I got to look at something. You know, like, it just, I don't know. Let's trade one bad habit for another. I'm off heroin, but now I'm sniffing glue. Like, I just don't know, man. I just want to like this company again. And every time they give me something to look into, I'm actually into the idea of MJF versus Double J. I really am. But yeah, they're not going to stick landing.
Yeah, in the chat says, fuck it, put the belt on Jarrett, go full on TNA. you know what? Like,
say that.
Like, individually, I don't mind individually that Cope wants the world title and Jeff Jarrett wants the world title. And
they show themselves
into the world title picture. Yeah. But both of them at the same time, given, you know, Jarrett's like 57, 58 probably by now, right? Copeland's pushing 50. We got a lot of old people on the show right now. And there's a real problem with AEW being uncool. Each of those guys individually are like cool guys, but when you got them all going for the title at once, it's like, okay, why do we have? And I was telling JD a couple days ago. What did I say? Hangman Adam Page and Christopher Daniels are going to wrestle here coming up on Noah next week. I was like, I'm sorry, not Noah. That's Dynamite, AEW Dynamite. It just reminded me of a couple of years ago with Pro Wrestling Noah, when you had Keiji Muto as the world champion, and you had all those
Ironhead, Fujita, and Nosawa, and you know, Muhammad Yone, and all these just old fucks. I'm with you 100%.
Yeah, and a lot of them are still really good. Like, they had Satoshi Kojima as a tag champion. Like, these guys are all like individually awesome, but then you put them all together on your roster, and you're looking at their rosters like, bro, all these guys are over 50. Right, and we got kind of a similar issue with AEW right now.
So I don't hate the idea of everybody staking their claim on Moxley. Like right. You watch old Crockett shows, like old World Championship Wrestling shows, and everybody would cut those promos with Tony, and every single person called out Ric Flair. Everybody, because Ric Flair is the champion. He was the top dog, you know. So I don't mind people saying that. I don't hate it, but I can't argue your point. Which is why I just saw someone in the chat saying like, "Oh man, they why Hobbs? Why they put Hobbs up?" I'm like, well, why not? Like, it was a surprise. I thought that was the best part of the show was like they're trying to make Hobbs. And Hobbs is a guy that people before the wheels fell off the bus wanted them to do something with. And like he came out when this gauntlet was a surprise. He'll have a really good match with Moxley. Yeah, Moxley does like the guy. Like when Hobbs first started to get a little bit of a push, he was with Moxley. So I get it. And why wouldn't you like Hobbs?
Yeah. Like, so my criticism of the Hobbs thing, I like it. Hobbs too a lot. He just lost at World's End against Takeshita. They probably shouldn't have done that match, right? If they were going to push him towards a world title shot. Mm-hmm. That's my only criticism of it. I think they want us to forget that he just lost at the pay-per-view.
They did.
And so now he's getting elevated as the world title. So that doesn't make sense to me. That's not something that Mid-South Tony would do. That's something that Mid-Tony would do. And so if they were going to go in that direction, I wouldn't have done the Takeshita match. It tells me that they just decided last week that that's what they were doing.
Yeah, well, we asked them to do a pivot, and they did a little bit of a pivot. So, yeah. I don't hate it because Moxley's gonna win. Like it's a TV match. Like again, you watch Mid-South, the number 10 contender got title shots. We have this WWE mentality of the person that deserves a shot title is the number one contender, and that's just not sports, right? Like guys that are unranked or guys that are lower ranked get matches with get title shots. That happens. So yeah,
Stipe Miocic just challenged for the UFC World Heavyweight title.
Yeah,
one match. I think he was ranked like number six, and he hadn't actually had a win in a couple of years, right?
Yeah, so I mean, like
he was just somebody that John Jones had not beaten before, and so they put the match together. So, like, yeah, we have the rankings, a structure in place, but as long as you're not coming off some losses, I'd say you're fine.
Yeah, I agree. They wanted to get Hobbs on the show. Booking him against Takeshita was probably not the right move. Yeah. Right. But I mean, yeah, that's the problem is I don't feel like there's ever a plan in place.
Yeah.
You know, when there is a plan, the plan doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Well, like you said, well, we asked them to pivot. It's like, yeah, that wasn't what I wanted them to do though.
but that's where we are. Like,
I know
they're trying with a younger guy.
Yeah. Pro wrestling, you know, is always going to be a choose your own adventure that never really goes the way you want it to go. And that's kind of like pro wrestling fandom in a nutshell. I want Tony to pivot. I want him to go right up to Kenny Omega and John Moxley with Kenny Omega. He didn't even I want him to win it, but if they should at least pivot to that feud. This is pretty funny. Lady B says Tony Khan has concepts of a plan. Like one incumbent president's financial plan coming, economic plan. Yeah, I didn't say the name. We're not going to go there, but I just wanted Lady B to know that I got the joke. I got the joke.
No comment. I'm going to be saying that a lot for the next 2 years. It's so disheartening. Like, and I don't know the way out of it is the problem. Cause like, we've had 2 years of like, okay, this doesn't make sense. And again, I heard from a buddy of ours. He's like, years ago, he's like, nope. When he told me years ago, the wheels are falling off the bus. The wheels are falling off the bus. And I was like, nah, man, they're fine. They're fine. They're fine. I was a hater and they were right. Like,
yeah.
I don't think Tony has the structure, the storytelling structure in his mind. He's really good at booking supercards. He is.
Yeah.
He puts great matches together.
He does.
But he really struggles with telling a story, especially a narrative story, right? Like a serialized chapter by
he's had some hits when it comes to serialized storytelling.
Yeah.
I will say, like, you know, Hangman and Swerve was pretty good.
Yeah.
But he's had a lot more misses than hits. I will say that.
The life.
JD, are you there? Oh.
Hear me?
You're cutting out, bud.
Whatever.
Okay. All right. Well, while JD works to get his way back, I think I see you there, man. I think you're here.
I can hear you, but I got the.
You're frozen there, but I hear you now. Okay, there you are. All right. Well, we're gonna get to the chat here. I wanted to get to this chat right here from Impact 88. It says, I just want to address this real quick because I did not address it on my show yesterday because I thought that it was cleared up online. We said, what's your opinion on Matt Riddle saying he's still waiting to get paid for his appearance at TNA's Turning Point? Well, my opinion is that Matt Riddle did get paid. So here's what happened is Matt Riddle gave an interview with this guy, Shaq Maggiore. I can't pronounce his last name, but he does. He's for, I think, CBS Sports or Yahoo Sports, one of those sports websites. He gave the interview a little while ago, right? But the guy waited to release it till this week because this week was MLW's Kings of Coliseum. So it was a delayed release of the interview. So I don't think the aggregator from Fightful, who, like, his job is to, like, listen to podcast interviews and then try to generate news articles from them. So Matt Riddle is on that podcast, and it's just a few weeks after Turning Point, and he says, yeah, I did it great. Even though I haven't been paid yet, but it was a fun time, you know, and they take a little while on their payroll. I'm not worried about it. And then he goes on and continues to say how great it was being at TNA, but he's focused on MLW because he was there doing an interview that MLW set up, right? So it wasn't a really big deal. But the aggregator, the kid that does the aggregating, saw that he hadn't been paid yet, and the interview got released this week. When in fact it was done weeks ago. And so they put that article out, which has since been pulled essentially, and they reworded it because it was kind of a clickbaity headline there.
From Fightful?
Because he did. Yeah.
Clickbaity headline? Get out of here.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, he actually got paid on December 23rd. So anyway, BQ, and I think he talked about on his podcast, BQ asked around and said, what's up with this payroll stuff? And they go, everybody that comes in, they get paid 30 days afterwards. So they do their payments every 30 days, right? They cook it, they do their payments. And so he got paid like within 30 days of his match on TNA. So essentially it's a non-story. Matt Riddle, a perennial drug addict and sex pest, is now the MLW World Heavyweight Champion. He defeated Perfect Satoshi place. Kojima over the week, I guess last night. It was live on YouTube, the Kings of Coast. I have not seen the show yet, but the headline for this episode is the Carnies are back. We're going to save Vince for last. We started with AEW. We're going to save Vince for last. We're going to go right into this MLW stuff because I want to talk about this because this is so fucking great. I love this MLW story. I love talking about Court Bauer and some of his antics. So yesterday, before the show goes on the air, the MLW Twitter account tweets out something to the effect. I don't have the tweet pulled up, but I fucking got it right here because I remember my MLW bullshit. So they're in Dallas, Texas, in some type of sports auditorium, right? And they said, we have completely sold out. We were at capacity, 2,400 in attendance tonight for MLW Kings of Coliseum. And I look at that and I'm like, there ain't no chance in hell that they got 2,400 people there. Right. So I took a screenshot of it and I tweeted it out because naturally I'm going to pick on MLW. It's part of what I do.
It's fun.
Any chance I get. And I said, there's a 0.1% chance that this is true, right? Well, there was somebody in the Voices of Wrestling Discord. I don't want to say his name out there because he put it in the Discord. I don't think he wants to get heat from the MLW people, so I'm not going to put his name out there. Person. But he was actually in attendance, and he was, you know, in the back, and he was like, he goes, he essentially saying like, hey, this is not true. There's not that many people in here. And he took a picture of the crowd, and it looked like maybe 800 people, which that's a good house for MLW. 800 people for MLW is pretty good, right?
For sure.
And he said, he goes, there's a hockey game going on in the room next door. So this big sports complex that they're in has different rooms, right? And so they had a hockey game in the hockey arena right next door to the auditor, the smaller room that they were in for the wrestling show. So these things are going on concurrently. And what they did, because when those two things are full, both shows together would be 2,400 people. So they just factored in the people that were there watching hockey and put that into the overall number and tweeted it out saying that they sold 2,400 tickets when in fact it looked like they were about 800, which is really good for MLW. Like there's no reason to lie when the truth is also pretty good. But carnies are back. Carney Court is a legend. He's one of my favorite people in wrestling. The guy will lie for no reason at all just to lie. And I love him for it.
He would have been very successful in the 80s. He would have had a very small territory, but he would have been, on our Patreon, we talked about Savage, Randy Savage and Angelo Poffo and how they promoted ICW, right? And the links that they went to do crazy promotion. That is Court. That's Court Bauer. Like Court Bauer would have been sticking big old meat down his pants just to get arrested, right? Just to get some pub for MLW.
Yeah.
Hey, that was a nice rhyme. That was actually pretty cool. I don't know, man. I don't like 800 would have been fine, but 800 doesn't sound cool. 800 doesn't sound nearly as cool as 2,400 does. So like, why tell the truth when I can just lie? Like they don't, it's some, like that's the mark of like a liar. Like when you don't have to lie, but you just do because it feels more natural to be a liar than it is to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, it's just the way it goes over there, man. Like it's wrestling, it's whatever, but
I don't know, man. What's funny about it is that lie generated so much conversation that a lot, like the tweet that I had blew up, and a lot of people are still talking about that tweet that I made. They're still talking about MLW, and nobody's being negative. A lot of people are saying, man, MLW is so beast just to lie like that. Like it's like legendary Carney stuff. There's people saying like he should be promoter of the year for just telling that lie and generating so much conversation about his company. I don't think anybody talking about it right now is actually going to go look and click on the link to watch the MLW show that they put for free on their YouTube. You would assume maybe some of them would actually just check it out to see how many people are there, but you can't really see because it's so dimly lit. You can't really tell. But Mike, it's dimly lit because not a lot of people are there.
There's 8,000 people in my office right now watching me do this show. They're behind my phone cameras. You can't see them, but they're there. They're there.
Yeah.
Like that's dealing with MLW. Like I don't know, man. It's the carniest. It's like the glate of America, right? Like it's like glate. Like it's nothing but carny BS and whatever, man. But you gotta be careful saying the carny BS stuff because people get mad.
Certain they will. They had a good house though.
They did.
Junkyard Akiyama was there. He said it was actually a really nice house. They did a good job. He actually took his date there and he said he had a good time. Mystico was there. So if you guys want to know why they sold so many tickets, well, Mystico was on the card and a lot of CMLL talent was on the card and there's some New Japan talent on the card. There's probably three MLW stars on the card and Matt Riddle happens to be one of them. I can say for TNA fans, with Matt Riddle winning the MLW title and saying what he said about TNA and their payroll stuff, I think we can be marked safe from Matt Riddle coming into TNA again. I think we're safe from that for at least a little while.
Just waiting out till Papa Hunter comes calling back.
Yeah. One of my favorite MLW Carney moments was when they did a joint show with The Crash in Tijuana, right? when really it was just a crash show that had some MLW stars on it. And Court Bauer took a picture of the audience at 5,000 strong and said MLW sold out 5,000 people in Tijuana. And everybody just ripped him to shreds like, you motherfucker, that's a crash show. And the crash does 5,000 almost every week in Tijuana because Tijuana is a hotbed for pro wrestling.
Always has been. But that's Court, though. Like, he's one of these guys that truly believes that there's no such thing as bad press.
Yeah.
Like, he says stupid stuff just to get people talking about him. Like, I don't, and it keeps, I mean, we're giving them more attention than we normally do. Like I said, I've had my own, you know, dalliances with Court over the years. Like, he can be pretty sensitive, but the man works hard for his promotion. I can't argue.
He does, yeah.
I can't argue that. He's a hustler. Like, in every sense of the word, like, he hustles his ass off to do any amount of publicity he can. He's got a good eye for talent. He's actually really good. Like, Matt Riddle's the latest in a long line of, like, problematic talent that actually find their way and settle down in MLW. Like, yeah, been like that from day one.
Yeah, Teddy Hart, when the MLW rebooted, Teddy Hart was like one of the first signings. Yeah, low key. Like, Teddy Hart's probably next level, but like low key was there with them. And I'm trying to think of who else was. And then, yeah, obviously Matt Riddle.
Yeah. And like, there's tons of guys that have strolled into MLW that, you know, Court has kind of kept the lid on and been okay with them. You know, it's like, I don't know, man, it's weird. Like, he's actually not bad with talent. He's actually not bad with a lot of that stuff, but it's stuff like this. It just makes me have a hard time seriously and not want to watch the show. That is booking.
Transferring. He says, I just looked at their YouTube numbers. They aren't bad. 81,000 for that show. That's actually really good.
It's pretty good.
For MLW.
I don't know who these MLW fans are, quite frankly. Like, I've never met an ML other than myself. I was a huge MLW 19. Like, I've never met in my physical life. Like, someone goes, man, I love MLW wrestling.
Yeah.
Not one time.
Jacob fought too. Yeah. So they gave Jacob a chance when nobody else would, because he had a criminal record. And so he really does have an eye for talent. You take a look at the star, like Jacob Fatu right there, Alexander Hammerstone over on TNA, and then on Shane Strickland and MJF on AEW, and then of course our main man Lexus King himself, Brian Pillman Jr. was
the remarkably talented Lexus King.
Yeah. Yeah, so he does have a really good eye for talent. All right, guys, let's go ahead and get into this Vince stuff. I wanted to open the show with Vince, but we'll close the show with Vince because this is just speaking of carnies, right? Now, what we're about to talk about is next level from Court Bauer. So I don't want anybody to think that we're comparing Court and Vince together because there's levels to carnism, there's levels to scumbag, and Vince McMahon takes the cake, right? Always. I don't actually think Court Bauer is a bad guy. I don't think he's a scumbag. I think he's just a shameless promoter, and he's willing to do whatever it takes, but I don't think he'd actually hurt anybody.
No, I agree. Right?
I think him and MLW are pretty harmless. Mm-hmm. But here's Vince McMahon. He posted this 2 days ago. He says, the case is closed. Today ends nearly 3 years of investigation by different governmental agencies. There's been a great deal of speculation about what exactly the government was investigating and what the outcome would be. As today's resolution shows, much of that speculation was misguided and misleading. In the end, there was never anything more to this than minor accounting errors with regard to some personal payments that I made several years ago while I was CEO of WWE. I'm thrilled that I can now put this all behind me. This motherfucker thinks that he's off the hook now, or he knows that he's not off the hook. He is purposely misleading people to say that he's off the hook. He is so misleading. In fact, he got community noted. It says, Vince McMahon settled with the SEC, so the Securities and Exchange Commission, without admitting, denying its findings. This was exclusively about the hush money charges. Janelle Grant's civil suit will go forward and use these findings as evidence, according to her attorney. Thank you, community notes. The community notes can be quite helpful. What the hell? Like, and you know what? The worst part about it is that he's purposely being misleading, and it worked.
Yeah.
It absolutely worked. A lot of people said, oh, yep, he's off the hook. Case closed.
He's got Vince is a bad person, right? And there's so many people you go on, and these are the people that make me miserable, is these people that still think Vince is like, he hung the moon, right? Yeah. And these are people that never believe any allegations to begin with, right? These are your stand up for WWE guys. You know, they're rotten, and they're going to believe anything Vince says anyway. It's like, truth doesn't matter. Like, especially we get this phrase, I'm speaking my truth. And it's like, yeah. No, you're lying. Like,
yeah,
you're lying.
Your truth is lying.
So I had a thing with my kid before the show tonight. I was really proud of himself. He made himself his own fried eggs for dinner. Nice. Right. Did the work on his own. And then I'm like, hey man, make sure you put the plates and stuff in the dishwasher. I hear him in there and I hear bang, bang, bang. I said, did you put it in the dishwasher? He goes, yes. So then like an hour later, I'm cleaning up and there it is. It's in the sink. I'm like, you lied to me. And he was like, it was a mistake. I'm like, it wasn't a mistake.
No.
You lied. I said, I'm not even mad because you didn't put the thing away. I'm mad because you lied to me and didn't even think twice about it. And then he started getting teary-eyed. I said, no. I said, man, I said, you have to learn to man up into this stuff. I said, when you make a statement, you have to lie. Like, you can't just lie for the sake of lying because it's inconvenient at the moment. So he went to bed pretty upset himself. Like, yeah. And I'm trying to impart this on him that lying for convenience is wrong, right? And that there's so many people in this world that just lie because it's convenient. It's like, well, I'm speaking my truth. No, you're a fucking liar. Stop being a fucking liar.
Yeah, it's the old adage, the truth doesn't have to be true, it just has to sound truthful. And that applies to pro wrestling. Here's what really happened. It said McMahon consented to the entry of the SEC's order finding that he violated the Securities Exchange Act by knowingly circumventing WWE's internal accounting controls that he directly or indirectly made or caused to be made false or misleading statements to WWE's auditor. So basically, he made these payments to these different women while he was CEO and they're a publicly traded company, and that is illegal. So the order also finds that McMahon caused WWE's violations of reporting and books and records provisions of the Exchange Act without admitting or denying SEC's findings. McMahon agreed to cease and desist from violating those provisions, pay a $400,000 civil penalty, and reimburse WWE $1.3 million. Okay, so that was from the actual SEC website, the lawsuit. And then I had, so Ann Callis, a lawyer for Janelle Grant, who was a former WWE employee, who filed a lawsuit against the company and McMahon, accusing him of sexual battery and trafficking, said in a statement that the SEC's charges are confirmation that McMahon broke the law to cover up his behavior. Ding, ding, ding. The SEC's charges prove that the NDA Vince McMahon coerced Ms. Grant into signing violates the law, and therefore her case must be heard in court. While the prosecutors for the Southern District of New York continue their criminal investigation. So the lawsuit is still going on. The criminal investigation by the Southern District of New York is still going on. So the case is not closed, Vince. We look forward to bringing forward new evidence in our civil case. So that was a statement from Janelle Grant.
No, I say he's either lying or dumb, and I'm not sure which one it is, to be quite frank.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think the guy is dumb. I think he thinks everybody else is dumb, right? And honestly, he's not completely wrong.
I mean, I do think he's kind of dumb because, like, he's made a lot of smart decisions, but he's also made a shit ton of bad ones over the years.
Yeah.
It's just that his good decisions outweighed his bad decisions in the long run.
Well, I'm not talking about, like, just creatively dumb.
No, I'm talking about general. I'm talking about general.
I'm just talking about, like, he knows the laws is what I mean. Like, he knows that he's not off the hook yet. He's intentionally lying because he knows that if he gets the word out there first, that's all people are going to remember. And the people that support him are going to say, yep, case closed. We're good to go. Nothing to see here.
But that's how he always handled things. That was the steroid trial. Remember when Stephanie McMahon did her thing? It was like, the government came after at September 11th. She related it to her dad being a scumbag. She's like, yes, what all these lady. People dying are just like when my daddy got attacked by that evil Janet Reno. Like, it's just, it's astonishing to me the level of inaccountability that exists in that family.
Yeah. I mean, rich people don't feel like they have to be accountable to anything.
No, yo, that's why
we got We got some TNA people arguing with each other in the chat.
I saw that. I keep peeking over. Like, what are we fighting?
We haven't even talked about TNA tonight. We've got TNA fans in the chat just yelling at each other. It's TNA fans. I want to direct your attention to something. On Thursday night, I actually did a podcast with Joe Lanza on the Flagship Plus, on the Flagship Patreon. I knocked out about 40 minutes of TNA talk. I want everybody to go check that out. And if you're not a TNA fan, I think that you will actually still really enjoy it. If you are a subscriber to the Flagship and you just passed it up because there was some TNA talk, well, fuck you. You missed a bunch of good zingers. I told some good jokes, goddammit. I thought I was pretty entertaining.
Very proud of you.
Yeah. Lanza seemed to really enjoy it. So we're actually going to try to do that like quarterly, where I'm going to be a special guest of Lanza. And then next week, I got a couple of other stuff lined up with people that are either part of the VOW world or they're VOW adjacent. A lot of people want to talk about TNA right now. They got a lot of stuff going on. Genesis is coming up. So, JD, I'm going to put you on the spot here. What do you want to do next Sunday night for the show? Do you want the night off, which I think, seeing as like you've been super busy, or do you want me to help you watch TNA Genesis next Sunday night and we can do a live episode right after Genesis?
I want you to help me watch TNA Genesis next week and okay. We'll do a live show.
Okay. So guys, next week. So Joe Lanza said that this is like a TNA show. I'm like, Joe, this is not a TNA show. We don't talk about TNA that much on this show, but there's been some times where he talked about TNA. I said that we can't shake it. I was like, Brace for Impact is the TNA show. Well, next week is going to be a TNA show. we're going to be live right after Genesis next week. So I'm going to help JD. I'm going to help JD watch the show. We're not going to say how, but let's just say let's just say that my dad taught me to steal cable when I was like two. Okay. So I just know how to get this. I know how to get shit done. Right. So JD is going to watch next week. And then probably the first time. And how many years has it been since you've watched TNA? Probably 2 years, right?
Easily two. So when did we become the Mike and JD show? Like, I think that was
2023.
Yeah. I want to say spring 2023, something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe summer.
Yeah. Yeah. No, spring. Yeah. I think it's. Yeah, it's been almost 2 years. Yeah.
Yeah, because we came to Voices. I remember we came to Voices around the time school started. So we came to Voices in like August of 2023. So it's probably been since like March. Probably two years.
Yeah. March, April timeframe. Yeah. Next week we'll be doing Genesis. I want to direct your guys' attention to our Patreon. Go to patreon.com/TheMikeAndJDShow. Earlier this week. I did it, dude, JD, for the first, like, it's been 2 years since you watched TNA. It has been, I want to say, 5 years since I've actually sat down and watched from opening credits to ending credits an episode of Monday Night Raw. Well, this week I actually did it. I actually sat down and watched an entire 3-hour Raw. I have seen highlights. I have seen YouTube videos. I've watched Hulu versions, like the quick, like 90-minute version, but I have not watched an actual 3-hour episode, and it has to be 5 years. It has to be since 2019, and I did it this week, and I actually went, and I'm like, if I'm going to sit through this fucking shit, I'm gonna go to Patreon and actually do something. So I actually recorded a Raw after show for the Patreon. I want everybody to go check that out. Did you get a chance to watch Raw on Netflix?
No, I didn't have time. I was planning on it. We might, boy, all the kids at school were talking about, Andy's school were talking about it, so he wants to start checking it out. So I guess Raw might become a thing for us in the future. We'll see. Well, I mean, I didn't see it. I saw the responses, and it did not seem like it got reviewed very well, which surprised me, actually.
It was. So this was for the sponsors and not for the critics. So I will say that the live crowd was hot the whole night. They had four matches that they have been building for a very long time, mm-hmm. and they paid off all four matches. So I think that if you're in that world, you really like it. But if you're a critic, they only had four matches over a 3-hour period, and the rest of it was an infomercial about WWE coming to Netflix, them teaching the Netflix audience what wrestling is, so much so that Triple H opens the show by talking about heels and baby faces and works and shoots and stuff like that, kind of explaining what wrestling is and telling the history in like a 5-minute video, the history of like pro wrestling and the evolution over the years, and kind of like broke the fourth wall.
That's a choice.
So he did that. And I didn't like, I kind of got what he was doing, so it didn't really bother me, but I don't really like it when I'm watching something, like even like a movie, unless it's a comedy. I don't like watching a movie and all of a sudden during the movie they tell me that what I'm watching is bullshit. But they introduced it that way, so I didn't really care about that so much. But that's what they did. And then, of course, they had all the different commercials for and like all the different celebrities are interviewing celebrities backstage because they have stuff coming out on Netflix. So they had Gabriel Iglesias introducing his, you know, stand-up show that's coming on. And they had all these different people. It was a whole thing. There were parts of it that I really enjoyed. A lot of it I didn't really care for because it's 3 hours, man. Give me 6-7 matches in 3 hours. But no, it's, you have to do the super drawn out entrances, the melodramatic finishes, the long promos, the long backstage sketch. That's your typical Raw.
Can you give me something that's like halfway between what Dynamite and what Raw are? Like, I feel like one show's over here, the other show's over here, right? And they're like, I feel like somewhere in the middle is like a really good wrestling show that just, I don't know, I guess doesn't exist, quite frankly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll see. We'll see if you like Genesis coming up. We'll see if I like Genesis. They got TNA's, they got a lot of turnover coming. So we'll see what the company looks like going forward.
I'll watch the show, but I'm going in there with a look. So we'll see.
Yeah.
I'm a hater.
Yeah, official little server JD watching TNA a long time. Big W JD, there you go. Little Silva, Raw Netflix was fire minus the Hogan appearance. Actually, the Hogan appearance was my favorite thing on the show. Yeah, that was awesome. Like, he came out. Like, first of all, why in the hell, if you're WWE, would you trot out a guy that was at the Republican National Convention who wore a MAGA Powers T-shirt at the airport, who is a known admitted racist in Los Angeles, in liberal ass Hollywood? Why would you bring that guy out as a babyface? They should have brought him out as Hollywood Hogan, the NWO thing. And that probably would have got the reaction they were looking for, but they brought him out and he proceeds to talk about how everybody loves him. And then he announces that his new beer company, Real American Beer, is the sponsor of WWE now. And they booed the shit out of him.
Nick Khan's not as smart as he thinks with everything. You know, like, I think that I think Nick Khan and Triple H, like, their business is so good right now that they just don't think about these kind of things. Like, why would you boo Hulk Hogan? I think that the fact that he was at the Republican National Convention probably made the people there happy. Like, they think, he was at the Republican National Convention. Wrong place, wrong time.
Right. So there's a big difference between the Republican National Convention and Los Angeles.
Yes.
Had they done that show in Austin, Texas, or Dallas, Texas, it might have been different.
Maybe not Austin, Texas. Not Dallas,
definitely. Dallas. Or if they'd have done it from Bumblefuck, Alabama, or whatever. Mm-hmm. It might have been a little bit different. But I'll be honest, like, Undertaker came out, and he was got a huge pop. He was cheered. But he's also not, like, in your face about it. And also, he didn't appear to be a racist, right? You say whatever you want. The guy not racist. And so, Hulk Hogan, on tape, admitted that he was racist.
Yeah, Hulk Hogan's not just a racist. He's like an unabashed, unapologetic racist and has never come out and said, you know, that was wrong of me. I need help. I need to be better. Like, he never owned up to being a piece of shit. He just kind of went with it.
I think if you're like JD, I assume you have like Republican friends, right? Like, I assume that you're like a normal person. Like, me too. Like, I'm no longer affiliated with anybody because the other people fucking piss me off now too. But I don't really care if you're a Republican. It doesn't bother me at all. But if you're coming out saying you're a racist, I don't want anything to do with you. So that's why Undertaker got cheered. It's because like he's just like one of our Republican homies. But Hulk Hogan is not only a Republican, he is big time racist, kind of a scumbag. And even so, honestly, remove the racism from it. Like, this guy has been doing other scummy things forever.
Ever. Like, he's a rotten person. Like, and my buddy Joe, who did the Batman podcast with me, was the biggest Hulk Hogan fan. The biggest Hulk Hogan fan growing up. Yeah. Was for years. He texts me in the middle of Raw and is like, I can't believe they brought that piece of shit out there. They're booing him, and it's good. Fuck that guy. And I'm like, I was like, wow, this is a dude that in 2002 was like, I fucking love Hulk Hogan, man. Like,
yeah, I, you know what, I liked him too, and I, you know, I was like a teenager when he did his comeback tour with WWE, and I made sure to go see him in Kansas City, Missouri, and it was like a big deal. But I didn't really know like all the ins and outs of, you know, some of the stuff that he was, you know, up to back then. But
I was smarky enough not to like him.
Yeah.
But not for the reasons I shouldn't have liked him. I didn't like him because he was
Hulk. Oh, you know what? Hold on, JD. Transferring Heat makes a good point here. He says, Hulk Hogan isn't racist, but Terry Bollea is racist. Okay, that makes sense.
That's a great tweet. That's a great remark. That is...
Yeah.
That's an all-timer right there. That's Hall of Fame level. Well done.
Yeah, well done. All right, before we get out of here, I did have it on my list of things to talk about. Malakai Black, gone from AEW. Thoughts?
I feel like we've had this conversation 10 times. Like, I'll believe it when I see it. This man's contract is like the grassy knoll. Like, everyone's, it's like a Rorschach test. People read into it what they want to read into it. Like, who knows? Like, I don't care. I think that Ospreay and Buddy had a really good match, actually. And I thought that Ospreay's post-match promo kind of led me to believe, oh, maybe Malakai is on his way out.
Yeah. Well, you and Cope did the same thing with Brody King last night, too.
That's true. Okay, I did see that on Twitter today. So,
I did think it was pretty funny that Ospreay was, you know, saying some encouraging words to Buddy Matthews, called him Buddy Murphy, then changed to Buddy Matthews. When Buddy Matthews has been in the business a little bit longer than him and is like 4 years older, but Ospreay's the star, right? But he's like, come on, kid, you keep it up, kid, you're going to be good one day.
I like found that to be so patronizing, patronizing. I'm like, is Buddy going to kick Will in the face here? Like, this is what people talk about. Will kind of being like, not reading social cues, kind of dumb for the room sometimes. Like, it was, I get what he was going for, but I didn't think it got landed, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah. But all right, guys, that is going to do it for us this week on the Mike and JD show. Be on the lookout on Patreon. JD dropped a JD Oliva project on Friday, a quick one. I dropped two Brace for Impacts last week and a Raw reaction show. And if I continue to watch Raw, I'm going to continue to do Raw reactions, because if I have to watch this shit, you guys have to pay to hear my thoughts.
I ain't watching Raw.
And I didn't put it on YouTube for a reason. A, it wouldn't have done numbers, but B, I feel like if I have to watch, like, you have to pay to hear me talk about it. So
I like that.
Yeah. But all right, guys, that is going to do it for us this week. Head over to patreon.com/MikeandJD Show. And until next time, mahalo.
Competition starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you watch your A game. A made no rain from the track when we unite and spit. This isn't A game. Better bring your A game. Competition starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you watch your A game. A made no rain.
Do you like wrestling trivia? Then check out the 5-Star Match Game, the Pro Wrestling Quiz Show. I'm Joe Gagne, and every episode, I grill 3 contestants with 5 rounds of power-packed wrestling trivia. We have over 30 evergreen episodes in the archives covering WWE, AEW, Japan, Mexico, and much, 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 much more. Play along at home and check it out today.
Yeah, sure thing. Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient. Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.